killed an overposter.
No,
I think it was one of my tumblers. Okay. So, we're up to page 5. Now, just to 15-second recap, the question is actually, does Hishtadlus work or not? Does Hishtadlus work or not? The obvious nafkamina being, should you do terribly much of it? And, you know, if Teva runs the world, then there's no Shkacha Pratis. If Shkacha Pratis runs the world, then where's the roots of Teva? And we saw one approach, which is the Ramban. And the Ramban, that really Teva does work. Really, there is Teva. If you're on a Madrega, Hashem interferes with the Teva. But Ishtadlus really makes sense unless you're on a high Madrega, because there really is such thing as Teva. And Hashem only interferes with the Teva for people on a Madrega or when he needs to do some special Schaga Onish. But not necessarily in every single Maisa. Well, Hashem lets it run on his own until he has incentive to be involved. So depending on your Madrega, Yosef maybe shouldn't have done Ishtadlus. But for regular people, maybe they should, depending on their level. The other approach is already, you know, like most of these philosophical issues, you know, the Yesodos you already have back to the time of the Gaonim, and Rishonim developed them more, and by the time you get to the Achronim, not because the Achronim are greater, but just because, you know, they're that much longer in stage of development, they really work out all the details and iron out all the kinks, etc. And that's what you see happening in this Shita. Already going back to, you know, the actual philosophical books, which go back to the Gaonim, the Chovos Halvavos seems to have had trouble with the idea of Hishtadlus working, because as we know, the Chovos Halvavos is very, very into Bitachon, and he's like, if things are from Hashem, then what's the point of Hishtadlus? And he doesn't say no one should do Hishtadlus, but he deals with this question: is it really a Teva? Does Hishtadlus really work or not? Now, let's just keep in mind, it's very attractive to say Hishtadlus doesn't work, because things aren't determined by Derech HaTeva, because Hashem runs the world. And Hashem's not me. I can run big things. I have no time to pay attention to little details. But Hashem is infinite, and he can pay attention to little details also, right? It's very attractive. What do you have to start explaining if you really believe everything has Shkacha Pratis, and things don't work with Teva, and Hishtadlus doesn't work with Derech HaTeva? What two things do you have to explain? Number one, why the Torah and Chazal seem to have Hishtadlus, right? Why the Torah talks about people going to work and going to doctors, etc. And Chazal talk about, basically, in the Torah and Chazal, right? Harvei asu ken. Right. Harvei asu yishol. All of the other, right? So number one, why is it clear in Jewish Masorah that Hashem meant for most people to do Hishtadlus? So why would that be true if it really was foolish and didn't accomplish anything? Right? If Hishtadlus doesn't actually change anything, why would the Torah talk about people doing it? And number two, if you really believe there's no Derech HaTeva, then I guess what do you have to explain? Why there seems to be a Derech HaTeva, right? Why there is a Teva. Meaning, it's not like people just made it up out of Mor Lahachis. Like, you look at the world and it seems to run the Derech HaTeva. You can do statistics, you can do science, etc. So those are challenges you have to explain. You know, in the Rambam, really made that challenge great point by saying, so why do you eat if you're hungry, if you really believe in Hashgacha Pratis and not in Hishtadlus? So again, the Chovos Halvavos won't answer all those questions fully yet. He'll start, but by the time it gets down from the Chovos Halvavos to Nechum Eliyahu, he'll answer everything. So let's start with Chovos Halvavos, 12a, page 5. Is it number 12a in yours? Yeah. The Ha'ila Shebavur Chiva Boris Adin L'Chavil Sabra Chusivos Al-Sivos Ha'Tera for Sharma Shiyotar Chalav. What's the reason Hashem is Mechayiv people? We know the Torah said people should go to work. What's the reason Hashem is Mechayiv people, or at least most people should go to work? What's the reason Hashem is Mechayiv people to go around and look for reasons, meaning to use the law of cause and effect, use Hishtadlus Derech HaTeva to get their food and everything else they need, the Shnei Panim? There are two reasons Hashem wanted us to work. Number one is that Hashem's Chochmah, he knew that he should test us, whether we serve Hashem or do Avedros. So Hashem knew when he created the world, for reasons that are beyond what we're explaining now. He created the world, he wanted to put us in a situation, and he saw Yom to see if we'll do the right or wrong thing. That was his chachma, let's grant that. So how does he do an Nisayon? He said the great way to do an Nisayon is what this seems like, because you need things, the Masha Chutzah, that are outside. You need food and drink, and clothing, and house, and conjugal relations, So what did Hashem say? What's the way I want to test people? I'll command you to go and get what you need in certain ways, with certain ways, in certain times, or mutar al pidin. Right? Basically, why do we have this holy give a shtadlus? Because it's a way that Hashem tests us, because all the shtadlus can be done by hetzer or by itzer. So it's a good test. We need money. I mean, ultimately, you can buy most of these things for money. We need money. You can get money by hetzer or by itzer. You can get money, you work on Sunday or work on Shabbos. You could earn money honestly or do gezel or ribbis and runah, etc. So it's a good way to test us by Hashem saying, go do work to get the money you need, and He'll see if we fall into the temptation of doing it the way that's usher. But here He's very clear. It's not that Hashem told us to do work because He set up the world in a way that work makes us money. Whatever Hashem was gozer you should have, you will get because all the reasons will work out, all the cause and effect will work out. Whatever Hashem is not gozer, you won't get, and the ways won't work out. Basically, any ishtablis, there's no guaranteed ishtablis, right? Any ishtablis, you try, right? A guy can go to law school because he wants to make a lot of money. And very often people go to law school and make a lot of money, but there are people who go to law school who can't find a job. You never know, right? Who get fired. You never know what can happen to you. So he says that the reason why we work is to be an nisayon for us. But not because you make more money if you work more and less money if you work less. Hashem is gozer v'shana, how much money you'll make. And then Hashem wants us to work so we'll be tested. And whatever we're supposed to get, we'll get. It's not like if you steal, you'll get more money, right? Hashem wants to test us. Will we steal or not? Will we work on Shabbos or not? You won't actually make more money working on Shabbos. Hashem is gozer how much you'll make anyway. He just wants to see how we'll do in the test. But the result is going to be the same either way. It's like Zera. It has nothing to do with the Shabbos. He says, really, no one could ever steal. Because you can't get money that Hashem wasn't gozer you would have, right? So he says that's okay, because it's still a good test. Because the test is not whether you'll do theft. The test is whether you'll do attempted theft. Right? Because Hashem will see what you try. You can't actually get money that Hashem doesn't want you to have. But the test is what you'll try to do. And if you try to do the wrong thing, even if it doesn't succeed, you'll be punished. In Shemayim, it doesn't matter if you succeed, you'll be punished. And if you try to do the right thing, then you'll be rewarded.
So basically, there's a mitzvah to work honestly, regardless of whether you make money or not.
Correct. The mitzvah is to work honestly just to show that you can be out there and pass the test. But the result is, it's like if you do a psychology experiment. You put someone in, they have to get the money, right? And you tell them, you tempt them. Will they betray their friend or do whatever in order to get the money? But at the end of the test, you give everyone the same $20. Just they don't know that. That's what working is according to Chovas HaLevavos. So he comes up with an excuse why the Torah thinks we should work, because you can't say the Torah thought no one should work. That's against all the psukim about farming and chazal, about Ruhar Be'asu, etc. He says the reason is to test us, but we get the same $20 at the end of the experiment either way.
Is this test for a purpose of
It's lechora. That he says is chachmas Hashem, which he's not going into now. Why Hashem needs to test us is the reason because we develop. Is the reason because we can only earn skar and onus if we actually do things. That's a good question.
We want to bring a riot to the Chol Shabbos. What the Gemara says, the kiddushin, lo aniyus min onus, lo ashirus min onus.
Yeah, precisely. I'm sure that's what he's talking about. Right. I'm sure that was primary in his mind.
The other concept of not putting yourself into an yisayim. So why not just sit back? Hashem will give you money or whether you're not.
No, because not putting yourself in an yisayim means on your own. But here, the Torah said we should all be in this yisayim.
How do I know what my yisayim is?
The Torah said we should all work, not all, but at least most people should work for a living to have this yisayim. That's what the Torah said. So we're not putting it. It's Hashem's idea. Then he gives a second reason. The second reason I never understood until I went to college. Vashemi. Ki. If a person didn't have to miatriach himself to go around and work to get food, what would he do? So you guys are all naive, right? You say, well, if a person didn't have to work for a living, then everyone would learn Torah all day and do mitzvahs, etc., right? Like, isn't that obvious? Like, if you won the lottery and had like a pension for life and didn't have to work, you would just sit and learn all day or do other important mitzvahs. But you guys are naive. That's not what most people would do. What would they do? Are you boldly, brother? Are you? You'd rebel and go and do averos. You would party, and he said you would physically party, and you would philosophically improperly party. And you wouldn't even pay attention how much you owe Hashem. She interprets to mean Hashem made it good for them. They didn't even notice that he did it. Instead, they just partied. Very clear. that when you get rich and have everything, you'll reveal. It's good to learn Torah and work, because the hard work distracts you from a veiros called Torah. So malach, so veiros gerus avon. So he says, hold on, even Torah without work, you'll end up doing a veiros. Kol shekein she'ein lo kedem ba'achas ve'em lo somli lach. For sure, if you don't have Torah, you don't have work, you'll do a veiros. Right? V'haya michel, right? Basically, like, we have a whole class of people nowadays who don't have Torah and don't really have to work for a living and don't have any responsibilities. They're called college students. And what do? They do a veiros, right? And this is exactly it, right? College students aren't supposed to have many responsibilities so they can grow in the life of the mind. And maybe 1% of them do. But the rest of them just say, oh, well, I only class 3 hours a day, and, you know, I do my homework for a few minutes, and I can party the whole time. So that's exactly why Hashem made us work. He says more philosophically, and it was Rachmanis Hashem for us that he busied us with, you know, working all our life, so that also we don't philosophically look for things inappropriate. So you don't do philosophical shtuyot and look for things that we can't find. Like before the world and after the world. Hashem gave us a lot of work so that we wouldn't try to philosophize about things that we don't have a right to philosophize about. Now, of course, what's an afkamina of this? What about someone who's great at Yiras Hashem and has bitachon in him in Torah and in Olam Hazeh, the sermon of Varm Gunim, and you avoid bad things, you just want good midos, and you won't rebel? What about the Gedinai guys like you, who actually, if you never had to work for a living, you wouldn't rebel, you would just learn Torah and do mitzvos. The lo yatel shalvin, you won't want to, you know, take it easy. You'll actually want to work in Avodas Hashem. The lo yashiva yetz v'lo yiftu kishvel, I mean, Yetzer won't tempt you, and all these pretty things in the world won't tempt you. Then what will happen? Then you don't need to work, right? Because you don't need to be tested. You already passed the test. And because you'll use your time well. So those people don't need to work. And what will happen? Hashem will take away all this tirch of going around and using cause and effect to get your food. Meaning, Hashem will take care of you without work, right? Because the two reasons go away. You don't need to be tested, and you won't rebel. Hashem will just give you all your food without any work. As much as unique. He says basically it's all for Hashem. All of working and the whole idea of teva is just to test people and to distract people from aviros. But really, what you have is nizer by Hashem. So if you're on a high madriga, then you don't have to participate in this fakerai. If you're on a low madriga, then you have to participate in this fakerai because it's necessary for the two reasons.
Just mentioning what Mr. Rizal said before, the first reason is still fine, according to Ramban. The purpose of Nisayon is in order to go because of
Right.
Even if you would pass the test, you need
to... That is an interesting question. It could be, he would say, that, you know, you might not need that Nisayon anymore. Meaning the Nisayon whether to work on Shabbos or not, some people are beyond that. You know, the Nisayon whether to steal or not, maybe some people are beyond that. So it could still be, depending on what the Nisayon was for. But clearly, Chovas HaVavos is telling us that, again, the base point is funny. Rabbi Yaakov Minetsky said, some people, he pointed out, he was a good philosopher, said some people say, look, he says most people should work. He says, that's not what's philosophically interesting about Chovas HaVavos, whether most people should work or they shouldn't. What's philosophically interesting about Chovas HaVavos, they says, Hishtadlus doesn't actually make you money. Right, yeah, most people should work for fake reasons. But, so technically, he says most people should work. But it's for fake reasons. It's not because there really is a teva and you make money derech a teva. It's just for these fake reasons, and most people, still have to have these fake reasons apply to them. The Mesil Shur more famously, even more minimized the idea of working. He says, 13, Amma Mashi Yuchal Lishmor Sa'adim Latzilim Na'usin Ma'ilu Bitachon. Mesil Shur is well known to anyone who learned it, besides being a, you know, very, very classic and effective Musar book, also is a, you know, chock full of philosophy. Right, what takes you away from things that remove your, that endanger your chassidus bitachon? Fushi yashuv level Hashem legamre, everything just for Hashem. Kasher yeda kivade yefshar, and he's not even talking about people on high madriga necessarily. Just everything up to Hashem. Why? Kasher yeda kivade yefshar sheyach lo amatzim yitzol. It's impossible, no matter what you do, but there chateva that you get less or more than what Hashem allotted for you. Kol she'amru zal mamarehen, kom lo shol ksum lo rosh shana, etc. Right, everything is Hashem's decree. Everything you get, what you get, not what Hashem wants your friend to get. So really, everything's from Hashem. There's no need for a Shabbos. Just have bitachon Hashem. Really, you can sit and do nothing. Nis Daisim is Tehemas, and Hashem's Zeru of giving you money would have been Mekoyim. Right, really, there's no need for any Shtablus. Oh, it says in the Torah Shtablus. In Lo Shekodim HaKnas L'Chovnei Adam, the only reason that he had the weakest reason why to do the Shtablus, he says, oh, it's a Knas. B'zeh Tzavecha Tocha Lechem, Asho King Chayv Anu Shtablus, he's a Shtablus Shorpan Ostov. It's a Knas, right? You think if Hashem gives you a Knas and you don't listen to the Knas, that's Chutzpah's rebelling against the Melech Mafiyam Lachem. Of course, if Hashem gives you a Knas, you have to pay the ticket. If Hashem gives you a parking ticket, you have to pay it. Right? So therefore, we got a parking ticket that B'zeh Tzavecha Tocha Lechem, we have to do a Shtablus. And therefore, you have to do a little shtadlus. You can't go to Melchel. That's Hashem's zera. It's like a certain tax. Hashem made a tax, right? Think about it. Like, if I have to pay, I have to pay sales tax. Does paying the sales tax, right, get me anything in my life? I would have the exact same life worth it without paying the tax. But the government said I have to pay the tax. So what can I do? So the shtadlus doesn't accomplish anything. So why did Hashem invent something called the shtadlus? Oh, that's a tax. It's a punishment. It's like a knas, right? After all, hishtadlus is a bad, stupid thing. But just like the teacher would say, right, I will not talk in class 100 times, and it's a bad, stupid thing, which is pointless, but it's a knas. So hishtadlus is a bad, stupid thing that's pointless, but it's a knas because of Adam Arishon. Al Kain Omer, therefore it says, and here's his twist in the Sefrei, Yachlof el Yoshev Batel, the Sefrei says, maybe you'll get a bracha even if Yoshev Batel, Tamalom, Chom Shlach Lucha Shartasa, no, Shalom bless you in your business. So you have to do business, right? I once heard Rav Schechter say something about how, well, if you want a bracha, you have to do business. Hashem will bless you if you do things. So this is also, he says the Midrash. But what does he say? Ach lo shishtadlus v'molo. It's not that his shtadlus actually accomplishes anything. It's not that Teva works. Hashgacha Pratis runs the world. Teva doesn't work. El shtadlus v'molo, just you have to do it because Hashem was gozer knas that if you don't do your knas, he's not going to take care of you.
That would imply, I believe you have a knas, not like onesh. Usually knas has some value. In normal law, it has a preventive value.
Well, it's an interesting question. Maybe right, maybe it's some... Right, it's an interesting question. Does it remind us of... I mean, you could have said the knas is that Hishtadlus works. But he doesn't say that. Hishtadlus doesn't work. Why do we have to do this knas? To remind us of the chit itzadas? Is that something so important? It's an interesting question. I'm not sure why. But we'll see in Afkamina in a second. It's an interesting question. If you do some Hishtadlus, your yotz design. How much Hishtadlus do you have to do? Right? So if you got a parking ticket that didn't say the amount, how much would you pay? You have to pay something. So you pay $1, right? And would any normal person pay $100 if it didn't say the amount? No, you'd be a tipish of a tipshin, right? You'd be retarded. If it doesn't say how much to pay, you have to pay the parking ticket. But pay $1. So that's what he says, basically. Do some. They ain't sort of balance your work. You don't have to waste your days with diligence and hard work at work. No, you just have to do something to be yitz design because you don't make money from working. You have to pay the knas. So why would you want to pay more knas when you could pay less? Etc. It doesn't come from business. Everything comes from Hashem. Don't work hard to get rich. Stop thinking about it. Ella derech amiti. What's the proper derech? Darshel al chasidim rishonim. Also to Rosh and Ikram left and tefila. Do a little malacha. Is everything is kind of yadam. It worked out. Kikim shasadim sas malacha. Even if you just do a little malacha, mishom hala emol talk kono. You have to do a little malacha. You have to say knas. So he says need some side reason, some technical excuse why to do malacha knas, and then do a little malacha and have bitachon. But you know the second and third and fourth and fifth weekly hour of work doesn't add anything. Because once you say the knas, have bitachon. Flow the stars from darshel lomim. And don't worry about it. Us yisher daikat pnuy v'lu mochem chasidus amid lavodat tmima. Right, again, to really accomplish chasidus, it's not enough to not work. You have to not work and really not worry about it. But he says, why should you really worry about it? Like, if you really understand the truth, work an hour a week, and don't worry about it, because you were yotze your kanas, and now you're going to get whatever Hashem was gozer you're going to get. Right? He doesn't promise you you're going to get $100,000. But he does promise you that you're going to get the same amount you would have if you worked an 80-hour week in a law firm. Right, so, meaning, does he think, bitachon means like the Chazon Ish, you're going to get whatever Hashem wants to do? Or does he think bitachon means that your mom is going to get whatever you need? So he doesn't specify right here. I don't know if I'm 100% sure. But whatever it is, he says, clearly bitachon means that whatever you're going to get, you're going to get from Hashem. It has nothing to do with what you do with Derech HaTeva. So cast your burden on Hashem, and I think... For some reason, that he would say that Hashem might actually, you know, you might actually have reason to think Hashem will take care of you. And that's Mesil's chart.
Did you say it's relevant?
What?
Right.
The bitachon is what helps you get the midah of chasidus. But with or without bitachon, everything's from Hashem. Right? That's the point. The Chovas HaLevavos and the Zil Sharm both say, not only if you're on a very high madriga, does everything come from Hashem. That everyone admits if you're in a very high madriga, then Hashem micromanages everything you get. Saying, even if you're on a low madriga, everything comes from Hashem. Right? The Chovas HaLevavos says, the only afkamina is if you're on a low madriga, everything comes from Hashem, and you have to fake working. On a high madriga, everything comes from Hashem, and don't fake. The Zil Sharm says, if you're on a low madriga, everything comes from Hashem, but you won't realize and you'll be worried. If you're a high madrega, everything comes from Hashem, and you'll realize, and you won't waste time. If you're a low madrega, you won't know that it comes from Hashem, and you'll waste a lot of time and worry. If you're in a high madrega, you'll know everything comes from Hashem, and you won't waste a lot of time, only a little time, to pay the knas, and you won't worry. And therefore, if you're not worried, you can advance spiritually.
The muscle of paying a dollar for a test, for a fine. I'm not sure if it works, because the curse was not stopped. Oh, work a little bit, and then you'll get what you need. It's b'zei atzepecha. It doesn't have to work hard.
So obviously, the Mesil Shasharim holds that Zeir HaPecha is not necessarily what it sounds like if Shuto. Zeir HaPecha, again, he might not be right, but the Mesil Shasharim thinks the Zeir HaPecha Toch HaLechem is, Zeir HaPecha Toch HaLechem means it's like an expression for work, but lav dafka hard work. It's an expression for work. Could be. Now, the person who really brought this into the modern era with, I don't mean no one thought of this until then, but really developed it, the philosophically most advanced state is, of course, the Michtam Eliyahu. The Michtam Eliyahu took this approach very, very seriously, and it's very famous. He's very famous what he said. I mean, you can find lots of Bali Musr who say this. You know, but he really, most of the Bali Musr just like sort of say over some basic ideas and try to inspire you. He actually tries to work out every possible kasha you can have on it and how to answer it. So, 14 of MSH Kiim Benisa Tevaklum. Right, meaning. He knows exactly what he's talking about philosophically. If you really believe that you shouldn't do ishtadlus, then that means you don't believe in derech hateva. Right? That means you deny science. Deny science doesn't mean evolution or some fancy schmancy whatever. It means you deny that there's a law of cause and effect. Right? It means you really deny everything. You deny gravity. You deny everything. There is no such thing as teva. And that's what he says. There's no divinely nesin teva. Hakol nesu kol olam kulo im loshum siva zolos v'tzon yisbarach. There is no way of teva, there is no siva, and it means not even siva and tzayis. Obviously everything comes from Hashem. It means it doesn't even come from Hashem, and then Hashem sets something up to do it through. That'll be very clear. It says, there is no reason except directly with Hashem. Whatever Hashem wants automatically happens, it doesn't have to come through a system. There's no such thing as Hashem created a system that works. No, whatever Hashem thinks happens, how could there be any system? So what do we mean by nes? We call a nes when Hashem wants something to happen that we're not used to. Nes and teva is a statement about our psychology, not a statement about what happens. We call a nes something that we're not used to because it reminds us of the truth that it's all Yad Hashem. And what we call tevo is when Hashem decides to do something a lot of times and make us used to it. Why would Hashem do that? Not because he really wants to set up the system. Why would Hashem? Here's the excuse. Like, basically the question is, he's the first person who takes this on straight up. So why is there a teva? Why does it look like there's a teva, right, if there's no teva? So he says, no, because Hashem sometimes wants to do the same thing over and over again, right? I bet if you drop this eraser, it'll go down every time. Why? Not because there's a law of gravity. Because Hashem wants it to always go down. But why would Hashem want that if it wasn't really a system he was setting up? The answer is, v'yamakum l'nasas es ha'adam gam b'zeh yirachet shon Hashem levad. The whole appearance of teva is an illusion to test us to see if we'll fall for it. Right? It's like if I like act stupid in front of someone a lot of time to test them to see if they'll really think I'm stupid. You know, it's a pure fake. Hashem is doing a lie for us as a test to see if we'll fall for it or we'll still remember the truth. To see, will we say, no matter how many times it falls down, there's no law of gravity, there's only law of Ritzon Hashem? Or not. Or he'll fail the test and think Hashem gave power to teva. Of course, failing the test is not being an atheist. That's not even what you said. No one would ever do that. Failing the test means to think Hashem set up teva. What's so bad about believing in teva? Because within teva, failing the test is thinking that Hashem set up teva and you could accomplish things with cause and effect within teva. Thinking that you can accomplish anything with Erech HaTeva is failing the test. Seeing that everything is a Shon Hashem and that he's trying to fool us and we shouldn't fall for it, that's passing the test. There is no Teva. Teva is an optical illusion. So you could either make a mistake or do the truth. He says teva is one big magic trick Hashem's saying, like the magician sawing the lady in half. He didn't really saw any lady in half. It's just a magic trick, and if we're stupid, we'll fall for it. And if we're smart, we'll say, come on, that didn't really happen. It just looks that way. And that's what teva is. The whole elaborate system of teva was only set up by Hashem as a yetzer hara to see if we fall for it. It's very radical, but that's really what you have to say if you don't believe in teva.
You said that everything you encounter day in, day out is one big illusion.
Exactly. All of physical life is an optical illusion.
Isn't that deeply unfair, though? In other words, anybody who we're expecting, we're doing the same
thing. You're saying, why did Hashem Dabke set up the whole world to run in a whole sheker way just to tempt us to believe the sheker? That's Chochmas Hashem that he decided that was what he wanted to do when he created human beings. I don't think we can second guess.
Can I possibly answer the question that he set it up? Hashem created the world really wasn't an optical illusion. It was the Yetzer Hara, it was a test for other nature. Other messed up, and he brought upon himself this reality.
Could be. He doesn't discuss right here at least what happened before Yetzer Hara.
So Rashi and the Torah says that sometimes Hashem is going to give powers to all the magicians just to see if you're going to fall for it.
Right, so that's a similar idea. Although just here it's always.
Any Rishonim who disagree with this, do you speak with the Mikra, the ones who fail this test?
What?
Any Rishonim who disagree with this, fail this test?
Right, so I think he would say that any Rishonim who disagree with him, you just think they disagree with him, but if he wants to, he can interpret them as agreeing with him. Correct, but I'll leave it to MS, right. Half the Rishonim failed the test, and he would call them like semi-kofer. Yeah, he wouldn't actually, meaning someone failed this test, he wouldn't actually say you're a kofar and apikoros and you're a puzzle ages, etc., meaning, he understands that, not every philosophical mistake is mamish kfira, but it's an inyan of, it's philosophically kfira, even if it might not be halachically kfira. And then, yeah.
Oh, this is Rabbi Mendel's point, and Malcolm with us, meaning it sounds like this is what's evening the field, the plane. He's not saying that it's making it hard for you, he's saying it's otherwise it's not.
Right, meaning maybe it's really 50-50 for us. On the one hand, we have the mako lithos of the teva. On the other hand, you have to figure out what's on the other hand, but let's say he assumes on the other hand there's obvious svaras, not just obvious svaras that God exists, but obvious svaras that God runs the world directly and not through setting up any teva. And maybe that makes you 50-50. It's a little hard to imagine those svaras are as obvious. But to where Chana thinks there's an obvious svara that God exists. Even that, you meet a lot of intellectual atheists who are not so convinced. But say it's such obvious svaras that God exists and he runs the world in the Shita of Mifam Eliyahu, maybe. Yeah, sure.
To answer the German question, you could say even from within the Teva, you could find Hashem, like what Jehovah Salvo said, Mimsari Asel, Okad, that everything is created in such a way where no one could design,
but that just finds that Hashem created the world. It doesn't find that Hashem runs the world directly without setting up any teva. That just proves you should be a religious person. You should be a believer in God. That doesn't. Yeah, you look around the world. There's a lot of things that impress you and make you think you should believe in God. But they don't make you believe which philosophical shita God uses in running the world. That's not so obvious. If Hashem set up a nifla human body, maybe Adrab. Maybe that shows that Hashem set up the world to run with a beautiful wave of derech hateva. So.
This statement of Bitzamiel Yol sounds very similar to the Ramban and Marshall.
Ah, so we discussed that. The Ramban.
Very similar.
Yeah, we discussed that. The tricky part is the Ramban in different places. It's amazingly similar, the Ramban in both. The problem is the Ramban in different places, and we're not going to revisit that now. Let's just read a little 2 minutes more Mithra Yol.
How would
or both
understand Sefer Shibbutai Yol Mimon?
How did what?
Rav Dessler understand Ali Sefer Shibbutai Yol Mimon, if the Neonism are only things that were not
Rululu. Right, so he might say, again, I don't want to speak for him because maybe he deals with it somewhere. He might say, Sefer Shibbutai Yol Mimon means I'll leave it to MS, their Neonism. Not I'll leave it to what people think. Which is meaning everything is a Neonism. Okay, let's just see his four Madrigas. V'yesh Madrigas, Rabbis, page 6, about carcination of Teva, and now Tin Bet, Khan Dalmahan. So there are many Madrigas in understanding this, but he'll do four. Aleph Yesher Yikr L'Atma Minim Bochim Bo Yisbar. Some people call this as Minim Bochim. We come up in Yir V'Chomalach Olam Derech Tivi. But they think the world runs through Teva. Misibos V'Sobim. They believe in cause and effect. Which again, don't give me fancy schmancy Teva. Either there is cause and effect, or there isn't. Some people think they're from, but believe in cause and effect. Mishtadl Naos Hasibos V'Sobim. They have to do Mishtadlos to use cause and effect to get the effects they want using causes. And they think, you notice already what the most of the problem with this is, they think they can understand things, and they can work out cause and effect, and they can figure out how one thing leads to another. And they think with their power and talent, they can use the causes to get the effects they want. These people, when we call Makom, he's not talking about non-Orthodox people. Of course they all daven to Hashem for Hatzlacha. Hainu, why? Even though they think they really make sense for Derech HaTeva, you never know what side problems could come up. Right? Meaning, what are these from people in the lowest Madrega? They consider themselves from, because they daven to Hashem, like, I made my plan, I'm going to go to law school, and I'm going to look for a job, and I'm going to work hard, etc. But Hashem, like, make sure, like, I don't know, I don't get anti-Semitism and get fired, make sure I don't get sick, make sure I don't, like, have a, you know, have a, some financial collapse, etc. Oh, Hashem, it's that serious occurrence, or make sure other causes are leading to me, make sure no unforeseen factors mess me over. So first of all, they daven to Hashem, they say, look, obviously, there's a million factors that go into everything. Hashem has to take care of 999,990 of them. And, of course, they admit we have to thank Hashem, for giving us the intelligence in the first place to use cause and effect. Like, we didn't get ourselves. Hashem created us. But the etzem, these people, to some people, these people sound very from. But he says, the etzem, he died from the old time, because they really believe in Teva. They think they themselves, with working sickly, as secret shoes, they can do things. They just need, like, Hashem to take care of things, to help. That's how they interpret Zayasim, like, really work accomplishes things. Bali Madriga, Zosta Infamelashita, says, people in this Madriga are really, again, he doesn't mean this in a halachic sense, in terms of Nachum's Maisa. He means in a philosophical sense. They're really polytheists. Bali Shita. Why? Because they think Hashem runs the world and I can also. They think Hashem causes results and I also cause results. Anytime you think you can cause anything to happen, then you're a polytheist because you think God doesn't run the world himself. You think you can also run things. So you believe you're also God. And you see, that's his basic Musar problem. Like, how can you think you can accomplish anything? Then you're not saying Hashem is in control of the whole world. They talk a lot of talk. Adayna kefir mishas believe in their hearts, kefira is rooted, kiba omit nivos miyashu kochalot miyadu also leis chayim zeh. They really think they did it themselves. Okay? That's the lowest madrega. Which again, I think half the Rishonim would be in this madrega. But this is the lowest madrega. This is kefira and polytheism, because you really think there's teva. L'malu yam nashim yikarim ben nashim kiyur b'chol inyan tibi kimaseh shen hu. Above that are people who have a precious emuna, but Amar Rosh Chomiz al Tziyu Lazeh, and his father-in-law said, an illustration for the next higher Madrega, Yishmistat v'chabayis derech kor manon shem desu yir eko sevas. You can look through a peephole, I mean, a keyhole, you shouldn't, but theoretically, and see a pen writing. V'lo yir sa adem, v'yid v'shek v'zev z'atma. Right, kofrim see a pen writing through a keyhole and think it's writing by themselves. Kachwa kofr, she actually has tevkwa elsa atma. V'lo kshavateh adelis yir sa adem kosei. But a maminim, no, if you open the door, there's a guy holding the pen. The pen is the teva, and we know that teva doesn't work by itself. Hashem just uses the teva to do whatever he wants. Everything people do and all the cause and effect are the pen in Hashem's hand. Nothing you do makes a difference. Hashem uses the teva to get to whatever he wants. That's a higher metric. Hashem uses the teva to make whatever he wants. Nothing to do with the cause and effect. But these people are not in the highest madrega because they still think there is teva. It's just Hashem's kli, and they don't realize that Hashem doesn't even use a kli. He just thinks that it happens by itself. It's not even a kli in Hashem's hands. It's just an isoyun and a hiding of the truth. Well, Hashem's work is not called nasa meila. It happens meila without any intermediary. He doesn't need a kli. This is already clear and true. These people really believe in after Hashem. There's nothing but Hashem. What's the even higher madriga than that? The higher madriga than that is very subtle. Gimel already had the philosophy right. Dalit is just the Hargasha has right. Not only does cause and effect not help, who feels not just that there is no such thing as Teva, but understands how dangerous it is. And how terrible it is that other people believe in it, right? In Kolabri Kulamayn Kaddish Shemo Yisbarch, Hashem created the world for Kiddush Shemo. K'moshu Kol Kol Nekros Shviyivu Chvodu Grasim. K'mish Asiyus Masturus As Chvodu Amelei Machrivos. If the appearance of Teva hides Chvod Hashem, that's a destruction of the purpose of the world. So therefore, the highest madrega is to be upset and be so upset at the terribleness of the appearance of teva. And then he answers the Rambam's kasha. Remember the Rambam's kasha? Why should you eat bread? Right? So again, anyone who's not a philosopher will just say, oh, okay, whatever, we're not going to deal with that. Obviously, you eat bread. But a philosopher takes logical questions seriously, even if they seem strange from a Balabhasa's perspective, right? So, talk to the Rambam's right. Like, why should you eat bread if you really believe in Hashem? So he answers, "Uve'emas ha'yirai." I'm sure he had this Rambam in mind. Where did he get the idea of this particular example? Really, whoever doesn't eat bread should live. Because that means Hashem. You don't need nutrients, you need Hashem. Vashir yochalachim yamas. Really, should die if you eat. Why? Sherishtamas tuyotimas. Because you use teva. Behimach rebs lobonus destroys the world. Rak. So why do we eat taka? What's the excuse for ishtadlus, even of eating? Rak me'asher ba'olamazet tershiyamachim litos. It's only because there has to be an isayim in this world. Therefore, Shemek people eat bread, live. Shemek one of Yumos, people who never eat, starve to death. In lo again, Madriga Ruchnas Shemayim, Shigil, Moshe Ben Oshalom, Lechem Ochalti, etc. Lashar, Bechinas, Bechinas, Anisma Gluyim, Canal, Berevichinim, Medosu, Kadomus, Loy, Shemek, Shemayim, and Tevendes. So for most people, unless you're in a very unique Madriga, but Hashem can't do it too often, because that would give away the experiment, right? He has to do the psychology experiment. So therefore, why do we eat bread? The reason we do Hishtadlos is not because the shtadlus helps, but to not give away the experiment to the other people who are being tested. Right? There are 100 college students in the experiment. One of them knows it's just an experiment, and he knows that he'll live or die the same regardless of whether he presses the stupid button. But if he starts not pressing the button, everyone looks at him. He ruined the experiment. Right? So the only reason we eat bread, if we're really maminim, is to keep up the illusion for everyone else, to not give it away to everyone else, because you can imagine. Let's say someone, they never ate, and they lived without eating, because they were such a big tzaddik, and had real emunah in Hashem, and they did the right thing. And all of a sudden, they would pick it up, the news media would pick it up, it would be on TV, etc., and it would ruin the experiment. Right? So, or other things like this. You know, it would ruin the experiment. Therefore, in order to not ruin the experiment, we have to pretend to go along with the fakery so that the other people will still have a valid experiment. That, he says, is the only excuse for a shtadlus. It's a very flimsy excuse, but a very logical one, because you gotta keep the experiment going. Of course, maybe we'll come back to next time, it's already late. The nafkamina of this is, of course, the sheer of the shtadlus you should do.
What about all the other nisim in the world?
What?
Why didn't Yom Tov destroy the experiment?
Ah, so that's what he said. Look, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't eat. You know, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza apparently didn't have proper nutrition or whatever. So I think what he would say is that, you know, Hashem's infinitely smart. You can always get away with a little without destroying the experiment, right? Think about it. If you really have a psychology with 100 college students and one person violated the rules to know the truth, it might not ruin the experiment. Then we'll say, oh, he's crazy, whatever, you know, this and that. But if enough people did it, it would ruin the experiment. So apparently, like, once in a while, Hashem knows they can get away with it without ruining the experiment, and maybe Daki has to balance the experiment. But Hashem has a delicate balance. If every from Yid lived with Nisim Gluyim, Shaloba Derech HaTeva, then it would ruin the experiment. Therefore, we have to do Ishtadlos to keep up the experiment for everyone else.
Or he attacked people who thought by the fact that Nisim is called for the Nassim, the Sechlam, lash of attacking them for coming to such conclusions and relying on the Svar. It seems to be much more of a leap of Svar than actually depending on. To come up with this idea and to think that actually makes sense and that's already going to live your life that way seems to be much more reliant.
Oh, no, he's not against people using svaras in Lima Torah, right? You should still use svara to understand Tosfos. And just like, again, he's not the sort of stereotypical, you know, which doesn't really exist, yeshivish. He thinks you should use svaras for understanding Tosfos and svaras for understanding Hashkafa, right? Meaning that's all part of Lima Torah. Of course we should start with Lima Torah. He's just against using svaras to accomplish things in this world. You're allowed to use svara for your Havana. That's called the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, growing intellectually. Just like you're allowed to work hard on your Musar to improve your character. Yeah, you're allowed to work hard and do Ishtadlus to improve your Neshama, which includes intellectual Talmud Torah, of course, which includes philosophy also, is part of Talmud Torah. But you're not allowed to use svara to do physical things. Because improving your Neshama is your job. Running the physical world is Hashem's job. All right. So let's break here, and we'll continue with him next week. We'll see how he finishes up his job, and we'll see how he displays in the next column, you know, not only intelligence but wisdom as well. as we would expect. As you can see, I'm a big, big fan of the Mithra and Eliyahu. I rarely am convinced. I don't always agree with his shita, but I'm always tremendously impressed by the way he works things out. Like, he was really a he was a real Baal Machshava. He's a real Baal Machshava. Like, is very, very rare. Like, comes, you know, like once in a door. Anyway, and maybe we'll go on to other approaches, which might be even more attractive than any of the ones we've seen until now.
Any word that
writing sacred? Any word that writing sacred?